listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us on a very historic day, and we have much to discuss as Roe v. Wade no longer exists. Welcome into a very special edition of Kevin McCullough Radio. For those of you in New York, you know we have been trying to help Heart for Lebanon, but we're taking a day to observe a very important moment. Stay here.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, We Can't.
He is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, friends. It is remarkable to sit at a microphone at this moment on this day. The first time I heard the word abortion, I think I was 5 years old. And 2 years previous to my fifth birthday, the case of Roe v. Wade had been decided by the Supreme Court. And the woman who was Roe in that case was a Texan. I grew up in Texas, and so this had a lot of play in my home state. And I remember my parents, when I was six, getting involved in a local congressional race for a man whose last name was Bradshaw, and I don't even remember his first name. And I remember being in their campaign offices as they were doing phone screening and polling, and they were cranking out flyers for people's doorsteps and everything else. And I remember thinking, why was my mom and dad so motivated to help this guy win? And he was running on this idea that he was going to help Texas, my home state, be the first to, you know, get rid of abortion on demand. And I didn't even fully understand what it was, but I knew that it was important to them. And that was the introduction to me of a life of activism that has fought tirelessly daily for the last 48 years to see this moment happen. The idea that this Supreme Court ruling no longer is the law of the land is remarkable. And for the many people who have done all that they could to get us here, from the Phyllis Schlafly's of the world to the Donald Trumps and everybody in between. Friends, this is a remarkable day. This morning when that decision was handed down, some 41 states in all began to have some form of life-saving law for babies again. Some of them, within immediate moments, had trigger laws that went into effect. I think it's about 15 that have the trigger laws. I think another 26 or so have laws that are somewhere in process. But in all, some 41 states immediately, because of that ruling, began saving babies' lives. And when you consider that our own taxpayer dollars have been used against us for the purposes of literally spending our own tax money to give to Planned Parenthood so that our own children could, in fact, be aborted, this is a remarkable day. This is a remarkable day. Justice Alito was the one that penned the majority opinion, and he began with an exploration and criticism of Roe and its holding that while states have a legitimate interest in protecting potential life, this interest is not strong enough to prohibit abortions before the time of fetal viability, understood to be at about 23 weeks into pregnancy. The court did not explain the basis for this line, and even abortion supporters have found it hard to defend Roe's reasoning, Alito wrote. Chief Justice Roberts also agreed that the viability line never made any sense, but said he could have taken a more measured course rather than overturn Roe v. Wade altogether. Roberts said he would have continued to recognize a right to get an abortion and that the right should extend far enough to ensure a reasonable opportunity to choose, but need not extend any further. The court's majority took a firmer stance against Roe v. Wade in the subsequent case, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, holding that Roe and Casey must be overruled. They countered Roberts' concurrence by claiming that such an approach would only put off the day when we would be forced to confront the question we now decide. The court described how the Roe opinion did not specifically explain where the right to abortion came from. And friend, that's the very thing that everyone is confused about. Nancy Pelosi literally went out to a microphone after the decision came down, and she said to the watching media, well, the justices yesterday said that the states have no right when it comes to a federal citation of rights in the Constitution. And today they say that states have the right to interfere. She's confused. The old lady is confused. Guns are actually mentioned in the Second Amendment. There is no mention of abortion anywhere in the documents. The right to privacy is not an enumerated right in the documents of the Constitution. Certainly not a right to choose. So there's all sorts of confusing things that politicians are easily saying today, but they're not accurate. The court's opinion recognized that the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause has been found to guarantee certain rights that are not spelled out in the Constitution, but that those rights are deeply rooted in the nation's history and tradition. Abortion, the court said, does not fall within this category, as such a right was entirely unknown in American law until late in the 20th century. The earliest sources for a right to an abortion, the court said, are a few state and district court decisions from shortly before Roe and a small number of law review articles from the same time period. Alito referenced the dissenting opinion from Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor, stating that it is very candid that it cannot show that a constitutional right to abortion has any foundation. And friends, to me, that's the real silver bullet here. When Alito said that those who are dissenting, Breyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor, that they cannot cite a right to this action, that's the end of the discussion at the Supreme Court. And he said the dissent's failure to engage with this long tradition is devastative to its position. The majority opinion also noted that the dissent did not provide any serious discussion of the state's interest in protecting the life of a fetus, while also making clear that the court's ruling is not based on any view about if and when prenatal life is entitled to any of the rights enjoyed after birth. The court then addressed the concept of stare decisis, the tradition of following established court precedent. Overruling a precedent, he said, is a serious matter. It is not a step that should be taken lightly. Still, he said, if the Supreme Court never overturned precedent, American constitutional law as we know it would be unrecognizable, and this would be a different country. The court then asserted that there are five reasons why Roe and Casey should be overruled: the nature of the error, the quality of the reasoning, the workability of the rules they imposed on the country, their disruptive effect on other areas of law, and the absence of concrete reliance. Friends, that's five devastating legal arguments. The court explained that Casey's test of whether a law places an undue burden on the ability to get an abortion has scored poorly on the workability scale, citing that the late Justice Antonin Scalia, for the second day in a row, major case cites Scalia's work, said that the test is inherently standardless. The majority criticized Casey for its vagueness and ambiguity and its failure to give a clear answer as to how to apply its undue burden test. The opinion went on to explain that Roe and Casey disrupted other areas of law, claiming that they have diluted the strict standard for facial constitutional challenges and ignored key judicial principles and distorted first American doctrines. Friends, in this 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court could not have been more clear. The dissenters could not find a constitutional defense for the act of abortion, and the ones that were of the majority opinion said that the Constitution holds no text that cites a claim to have a right to one. And again, as far as the law goes, that's the end of the matter. Now what happens is going to be of major discussion. What will the states do? Joining me today, Abby Johnson, Ryan Anderson, and Mike Huckabee. Stay with us. It's a special edition of Kevin McCullough Radio.
Alrighty. I'll save that and then launch the Zoom room momentarily.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. I'm wearing mine as I read this spot, actually. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so you need to order right now. 800-651-0798. That's 800-651-0798. Use the promo code WMCA. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop the My Slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long, made with the MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and made with quality leather suede. Remember, for a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. Order right now. 800-651-0798. That's 800-651-0798. Use the promo code WMCA or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code WMCA.
Your local radio stations are here for you. No subscriptions or monthly fees necessary. We're here to give you the news, weather, and traffic you need and the music you love. But if the foreign-owned record labels get their way, it could stop the music. They want Congress to force radio stations to pay them more money simply to play their music. Don't let radio go silent. Text LOCAL to 52886 and tell Congress to protect local radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Download the AM 570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
Don't go to bed another night worrying about unfiled taxes or letters from the IRS. If you owe $25,000 or more, there is local help available. 201-479-2572. That's 201-479-2572. JLD Tax Resolution Group provides real solutions to your IRS problems right here in Jersey City. They specialize in helping self-employed individuals and businesses resolve their IRS problems for the least amount allowed by law. No more fake promises, just real solutions and real results. Don't call someone in California or Idaho. You can meet the owner, Jonathan Donenfeld, in his office in downtown Jersey City. They offer a free tax strategy session where they come up with a plan to resolve your tax problem. Don't call an 800 number. Call Jonathan now. 201-479-2572. That's 201-479-2572. Call now, 201-479-2572, or visit their website, 201tax.com. That's 201tax.com.
This is Greg Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237. Join me for Reaching Out. We'll talk about the issues that matter the most to working families, union members, and everyone who cares about the future.
On the next Reaching Out, Greg speaks with Brooklyn DA Eric Gonzalez about the crisis that plagues Rikers Island and what can be done about it. It's Reaching Out, Saturday afternoon at 4:30 on AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA.
Right now, police are stepping up patrols to make sure drivers and pedestrians obey our crosswalk laws. Why? Because every year in New York, people are injured or killed just crossing the street. So remember, pedestrians, obey traffic signals and use crosswalks. And drivers, yield to pedestrians in crosswalks. If you don't, we will educate you on the law. And you may get a ticket, because tickets get attention, and that saves lives. A message from the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. It's really frustrating to deal with out-of-pocket medical expenses, watching your hard-earned dollars just flying out the window. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare has a new option called MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community. People encourage and pray for each other. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B that fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. It's great for peace of mind. You can use your Medicare-approved doctor and get prescription savings, dental and vision savings. Very worth looking into, and it's so easy to find out why people rave about the customer service at MediShare. They're great to talk to on the phone. Here's the number. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, this should be somewhat expected. It wasn't moments after the opinion came down that AOC was literally on the steps of the Supreme Court with a bullhorn screaming about women's rights. Nancy Pelosi was actually saying that while the court in the gun case cited states' rights as being present, the right to were taken away from the states to give people the right to carry their weapons, that they had done the reverse in the Dobbs case. Opposite of how it works, Speaker Pelosi, there is no mention of abortion in the Constitution. There's a direct mention of guns in the Constitution. It's completely backwards from what she explained it. And then not long after that, President Biden, for some reason, they didn't have the microphones turned on, so you couldn't really hear him. But he was yammering on about prescription drugs and the need to have access to contraception. And I'm pretty sure that he's meaning by contraception abortifacients. I'm just guessing that that's probably hidden in the meaning of what he's talking about, given how this group acts. Nevertheless, I am thankful that the decision came down as it did. And here to discuss with me is Abby Johnson, who is without question one of the more inspirational figures to come out of the pro-life movement. I've been fighting this this issue since I was a four-year-old boy in 1974 when I first became aware of what this was. And it's been a long litany of people like Abby, like Lila Rose, like others that have stepped up and said, hey, there's a lot more to this than you even realize, and we need to talk about it. Abby rejoins me now. Abby's fame, of course, came from the fact that she was one of the most successful Planned Parenthood directors in the history of that company. And now she's a complete bona fide pro-life believer, saying, no, we can save women and we can save babies at the same time. Abby, thank you for being here. Let me just ask you, the moment that this came down, I think there are 13 or 15, it's something like that, trigger states that have that had immediate bans that went into effect. So abortion is now no longer in those states immediately upon the Roe decision coming down. I think another 26 have some sort of process, whether it's legislative affirmation or a governor's signature or something along those lines that have to happen. But there are a number of other couple of dozen more states. They're going to be moving in that direction. I think that puts the number at about 40 or 41 states. That means there's going to be nine where abortion is still going to be as prevalent and maybe even more in demand than it was before the Roe overturn of the Dobbs case. Your thoughts on where we stand in the aftermath of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly exciting. It's an exciting time. People have been, you know, like you mentioned, fighting for this for so long. You know, many people longer than I've even been alive have been fighting against this horrific law. And, you know, we are looking at 26 states that currently have either a trigger ban or have a constitutional amendment or something in their state constitution that makes abortion illegal right now in their state. And like you said, there are many other states that have something proposed in their state to make abortion illegal.
Right.
And then there are, you know, other states. I think it's going to be sort of a pendulum swing one way or the other. So we're going to see, you know, sort of deep red states, right, where abortion is completely illegal, or we're going to see deep blue states where abortion is completely illegal for any reason through all 9 months of pregnancy, where Roe is sort of codified in an extreme way.
Right.
So, you know, that's what we have seen happen in Colorado. That's what we've seen happen in California. In California, even going an additional step, Newsom saying that, you know, California is going to be a sanctuary state for abortion, and him signing into law $125 million of state taxpayer money going to fund abortion tourism for his state so that other women can come there and have their abortions paid for. So, I mean, it's going to be, I think, one way or the other, sort of a pendulum swing one way or the other. But right now in our country, we have more states that will effectively ban abortion and make it illegal than we have states making it legal, which is, I mean, a huge victory.
Well, I was adding up the math. I mean, you know that I don't have to tell you this, but Planned Parenthood alone does nearly 400,000 abortions a year.
Right.
In a lot of states, they're out of business now. And they will be very, very soon. And I'm curious, you know, so how does the pro-life message and the championing of God-given life now change for those people that have been in this discussion and this debate for such a long time? Because the focus has been, let's get a case to the court that can overturn Roe. Now it's like we need 50 different teams of fighters to go into every state and make sure that the laws protect babies at this point. And I think that in some ways it's going to get it's going to be so decentralized. I fear it may not remain as strong as it is to fight for life.
Yeah. So that is definitely a concern, Kevin. So that, I mean, that is a concern of mine. That's something that I've been talking about, is that the pro-life movement has gained so much momentum, sort of rallying around this idea that we have to overturn Roe at the federal level. And, you know, my fear is that now that we have done just that, that there's going to sort of be this complacency or apathy, particularly in these deep red states, right? That places like Texas that have a trigger ban, places like Tennessee, where we know abortion is going to be illegal, that people in the pro-life community in those states are going to go, oh, great. Okay. Well, my work is done, right? And now I can move on to something else. But the reality is that truly in the pro-life movement, our work is just beginning at the state level. And we're going to see abortion clinics close for sure, which means, but it doesn't mean that women are no longer going to have crisis pregnancies, right? Just because abortion clinics close doesn't mean that women aren't going to be getting pregnant.
Well, and that's why,
and saying, now what do I do?
And that's why Antifa is attacking crisis pregnancy centers, because they know that they are the ones that are going to outlive this.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, pregnancy centers are now a super threat to the left, right? And so, you know, we need to be doubling down on our support of pregnancy resource centers, maternity homes. And yes, I mean financial support, but also I mean volunteerism, donating supplies, you know, working for them. What, you know, what are we doing to actually support these centers? You know, have you toured your local pregnancy center? Find out what they do. Know where they are. You know, are you putting information about your local pregnancy center on your social media? You know, we need to be really championing these centers and letting people know about all the awesome services that they offer, because crisis pregnancies will continue to exist.
Yes.
And there will be an underground system of women who are willing to, you know, break the law or whatever, to either perform illegal abortions, to get women medication, or to take them to other states. And so, you know, we're combating that as well.
Well, Abby Johnson, you have been a stalwart champion and such a brave person to come out and tell your story and then to live your life. I'll never forget getting to see your ultrasound right here in Times Square. You brought Times Square to a pinpoint silence. And I've never heard Times Square be that silent. So we thank you for everything that you've done. But thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Kevin McCullough coming right back.
It's Dr. Lederman speaking with 007 about prostate cancer. You're 007.
The real 007. I was diagnosed in 2005 with prostate cancer. I requested a biopsy.
Why?
Going up, I got a biopsy that I had cancer in my prostate.
And then the doctor told you, hey, you got to have
surgery.
Did your doctor tell you about Dr. Lederman and radiosurgery?
It's his bread and butter to operate. Not only do they leave the cancer behind, which is the most important thing, but you're incontinent and your sex life is kaput. I knew about your treatment, which was very easy to do.
15 years later, your PSA is zero.
My urinary life is okay. My sex life is very good.
For more cancer information, call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted, 1384 Broadway. Call Dr. Lederman, 212-CHOICES, 212-CHOICES.
If you have certain chronic conditions, such as heart disease,
asthma,
diabetes,
and you're 19 years of age or older,
52,
36,
42, you may be at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
I'm going to ask my doctor
about getting vaccinated
with Prevnar 20.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-379-9528. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-379-9528. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-379-9528. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life, call 800-379-9528.
Where are your family's old film reels, videotapes, and photos? Are they sitting in dusty shoeboxes and neglected bins at risk of completely fading away? Digitizing your aging media with Legacy Box is the safe and easy way to preserve and pass down your family's legacy. Simply send your Legacy Box kit filled with old home movies and pictures. Legacy Box does the rest, converting your moments to DVD or digital. Legacy Box has been trusted by over 1 million families and has over 10,000 five-star reviews. Be your family's hero. Unlock the memories trapped on VHS, camcorder tapes, and 8mm reels. Experience the joy and excitement of rewatching your wedding day, baby's first steps, and Christmas mornings. Feel relief knowing all those cherished moments are safe from fires and water damage. The Legacy Box Father's Day event is happening now. Go to legacybox.com/lbox to save 50%. Legacy Box is great for your family or as a gift for dad. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 50% off. legacybox.com/lbox.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. And on this very important day, there are some things that we need to be reminded of, that this case is not, this, as everyone has said thus far that's been on the show today, this doesn't end the issue. And there is still much to fight on for and to try to get corrected as we go through what is the next stage now of trying to protect life as best we can. Joining me is the Regnery author Ryan T. Anderson. He is co-author of the book Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing. His illustrative co-writer is Alexandra DeSantis, who was just with us earlier this week, and a pretty staunch, longtime writer and fighter on this point as well. Ryan, thanks for being here.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
Your reaction to the decision as it was handed down, it seemed like Mr. Alito went to great length to really give as sound a denunciation of the logic, rationale, and execution of Roe v. Wade as one could possibly have hoped for.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is exactly what so many people have spent so many years laboring for. It's not the end of the pro-life movement. It's, you know, it's the first step. The first step was admitting we got Roe wrong, we got Casey wrong, and now the court has done that. And Alito, just in a masterful opinion, explains why there's no foundation in the Constitution for a right to lethal violence in the womb, the right to kill an unborn child. And then he explains away all of the various stare decisis argument. You know, he's not overturning the principle of stare decisis. He says that those considerations don't apply in this case. He goes through, you know, five different reasons why, about the unworkability of Roe and Casey, about it being egregiously wrong, about it having severe consequences. I mean, for example, the death of a human being. I mean, like, if ever there were an occasion to say, look, we got it wrong and we're not just going to keep getting it wrong for stare decisis reasons, we're actually going to admit we got it wrong.
What's the fabric of the country going to go through in the days to come from where you sit?
Yeah, I mean, so unfortunately, you know, the title of the book, Tearing Us Apart, is, you know, meant to, you know, get at both of those aspects of abortion. You know, one is that it literally tears apart the body of the unborn child. But then two, what you've just highlighted is that it's torn apart and it's tearing apart the body politic. And, you know, whether in the, you know, days and weeks after the leak, you know, the assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh, the vandalization of pregnancy resource centers, the firebombing of pregnancy resource centers, the churches that were attacked, those are just the most recent instances of this. And obviously the reactions to the opinion itself, the calls for violence, the night of rage, et cetera, et cetera. It's incredibly unfortunate. It's something that should be condemned by everyone, left, right, and center, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice. And so I think part of it, you know, where do we go from here, is that we need to be able to persuade each other. We need to be able to explain why we believe what we believe to people who don't already agree with.
Do you believe that there is a role for people of faith in that conversation in a significant way?
Of course. I mean, not only is there a role, but I would say it's a primary, it's a central role. I think what we need to do is we need to bear witness to the truth that every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. We need to bear witness to the truth, the basic biological truth, that a new human being comes into existence at the completion of fertilization, at conception, that ultrasound image that we're seeing, that's a real live human being. We need to bear witness to the truth that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, and that amongst these is the right to life. I mean, this is right baked into the American founding, the Declaration of Independence. And I think people of faith have a obligation to bear witness of these truths and to show that it's not just faith-based, that faith and reason go together, scripture and science go together, because all truth is from the same source. These are all creational truths.
There's a lot of people that have a lot of misconceptions about what's going to happen now, and the media have not been helpful, and certainly politicians have not been helpful. Even people like the Speaker of the House doesn't understand the difference in actually espoused rights in the Constitution and things that have been sort of inventively shoved in there. It's going to require a lot of conversation. Do you think that the political and social and cultural left are going to allow this conversation to unfold?
Yes and no. I think some on the political and cultural left are going to stand in the way. And so it's going to be very important for conservatives to partner with those on the political and cultural left who do want to have the conversation in a civil way. I think it's a mistake to paint the left as a monolith, right? And in the same way that,
especially
like,
in this day and age. Yeah,
in the same way that Ruth Bader Ginsburg doesn't speak for all women, we shouldn't allow the most radical extreme elements of the left claim a monopoly of speaking on behalf of the political left. And so conservatives need to partner with reasonable and responsible liberals and have this conversation. And then we all need to condemn the extremists who are terrorizing the country.
Yeah, that's well said. All right, Ryan Anderson, thank you for your time today. Tearing Us Apart, the name of the book, and I hope that you will get it. Co-written with Alexandra DeSantis, and doing great work. Thank you so much, Ryan.
Thank you.
Coming up, Governor Mike Huckabee joins me on this momentous day. Stay with us. Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You've seen the headlines. You know the devastation that the Ukrainian crisis has brought to the Ukrainian people. Thankfully, we've been able to help in that arena on some level. But did you know that they supply the grain for much of the rest of the region? And did you know that our partners in Lebanon, at Heart for Lebanon, told us recently that the Ukraine supplies up to 85% of the nation's total amount of grain for Lebanon? That means that after their grain elevator exploded 2 years ago, and now that this crisis is underway, that there is a food desperation in Lebanon like we've never seen. And though Heart for Lebanon is more gospel-focused in their work, they recognize that if people are hungry, they're going to have a hard time hearing the gospel. Would you help us feed a family, rescue one for the next 4 months? One gift of $116 will feed that family for the next 4 months. Call 888-211-5944. 888-211-5944. 888-211-5944. Or go to WMCA.com.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com. Reliability, dependability, quality, and value. Sentiments not usually associated with an affordable four-door sedan. Meet the 2022 Mitsubishi Mirage G4, starting from $15,465. With 35 mpg city and 41 mpg highway, this makes the Mirage G4 the class leader in fuel economy. But not boring. The G4 is connected for adventure with the latest technology of Apple CarPlay and Android Auto standard. Precious cargo? Mitsubishi G4 comes standard with loads of safety features, including forward collision mitigation with pedestrian detection. And it's all backed with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty to give you peace of mind. Come visit Freehold Mitsubishi today. Just a short ride from anywhere in the metro tri-state area. Visit FreeholdMitsubishi.com or call 732-863-2788.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You're not required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-786-2300. 800-786-2300. That's 800-786-2300.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. He is one of the longest-serving governors in American history, a two-time presidential candidate, a top-rated Fox News Channel host, and all of it before being known as Sarah's dad, Governor Mike Huckabee, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, a big end to the week, obviously, on so many different cases. And we were telling you for quite some time at this microphone that there were a couple of really big ones that would come down at the end of the court session. It looks like they ran the clock out right to the very end. But for the second day in a row this week, another big case was handed down. Obviously, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And joining me now to give some perspective to the long journey that this has been is Governor Mike Huckabee. And Governor, always appreciate your time with us. You know, I think we've known each other for probably a couple of dozen years. I don't know, maybe longer than that. I'm not sure when I remember meeting you, but I know that We have been in the same fight for as long as I can remember. I remember my parents working our very first congressional volunteer campaign for a candidate in Fort Worth, Texas, when I was a little tiny 6, 7, 8-year-old kid, stuffing bags to take to voters to give them information about this thing called Roe v. Wade that had just been decided, you know, when I was 3 years of age, and now I was 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. And I remember from that moment forward always being forward-looking to working towards the opportunity to see this law be this ruling be repealed. And you were ahead of me in the race a little bit. You were already in public service in many respects. What are your thoughts at this momentous occasion?
Well, I'm very happy that it's happened, but I hope people understand this is not the end of the world for those who are pro-abortion, and it's not the beginning of the end necessarily for those of us who are pro-life. It's a great decision because it was a constitutionally correct decision that really righted a wrong that was done in 1973 when the Supreme Court decided that they were a legislative body, not a judicial body. All of that is great. But what it means practically, in some states, there will be more abortions, New York and California among them. In my state of Arkansas, there won't be abortions.
Yeah,
they'll be banned. So I'm thrilled. I've been in this battle since really 1973 when the decision came out, but got more involved in the late 70s. And was a part of a group called Southern Baptist for Life that tried to get Southern Baptists to really start joining our Catholic brothers and sisters in recognizing this as a moral issue. Over time, that's happened. My early political fights really were involved in pro-life. I was part of the steering committee that put a constitutional amendment on the Arkansas ballot that would recognize life begins at conception. And the policy of the state would be to protect it until natural conclusion. Well, obviously, that took three times, but we finally got it passed. But it was always under the umbrella that Roe overshadowed it. Well, as of today, that's no longer the case.
Yeah.
And so that constitutional amendment that we tried and failed in 84, failed in 86, passed in 88, today now is enshrined into permanent law in my home state. And it's just a great moment in that regard.
I started researching, and I think the moment that the ruling came down, there were something like 13 states that have what's called trigger bans that automatically, once the Roe decision was made, that was it, that they're done. 26 additional states are in some sort of process of either they'll need a legislature to affirm it now or a governor to sign it or some sort of process to complete it, but there's already another 26 states that have some degree of banning of abortions within their borders. Governor, that means that there's going to be 41 states that in some form or fashion, within just days of this decision being handed down, start saving thousands of babies' lives. I don't know if people understand just even how much Planned Parenthood, which gets, you know, a ton of money from the taxpayers, but they average about 387,000 abortion, taxpayer-paid abortions a year.
Well, and that's why it is a great day for human life, and I don't want to minimize the importance of it, but I also want to make sure people understand that this was bigger than just the decision, because now we have a court that says that the text of the Constitution means something, and it should be, I guess, just simply accepted for what it says. That's refreshing. And you know what? What I want to do is say thank you, Donald Trump, for giving us three solid conservative judges. I want people to remember the people who hated Donald Trump's mean tweets and voted for Joe Biden, all of those so-called Republicans.
The really smart people like Bill Kristol and those guys.
100%. If Hillary Clinton had won in 2016, let me ask you, do you think we'd be celebrating this decision today? It would have been a 9-2 decision going the other way.
Yeah.
And I hope people will stop and remember that Barack Obama was right about one thing. Elections have consequences. And, you know, I want to just add this. My next prayer is that we move toward recognizing the personhood of the unborn, because when that happens, then in all 50 states, abortion comes to a conclusion because there is no due process for the unborn child and no equal protection, as would be guaranteed by the 5th and 14th Amendments. So, yes, it's a wonderful day. And you know, I do celebrate that Planned Parenthood is going to be out of business in many states. And one reason I celebrate that
is because they target black women.
Yep.
I wish that there was more people, there were more people who understood that abortion in this country is a business, and it's a business to take the lives largely of African-American babies. Yep. And if they don't think so, go look where those abortion clinics are, see where the targeting is, and see where the disproportionate number of abortions are. They're in the African-American community. And African-American leaders, if they really cared for their communities, would be the ones loudest and clearest celebrating today.
There are five zip codes in which there are more abortions than births in the last 10 years, and that's been a yearly trend. This decision, by the way, won't make much of an impact on that because Kathy Hochul and the Democrats in New York State have said they are going to protect abortion through up until birth. But we can now start to work on that issue and move towards a more flourishing day, Governor, when we celebrate what God created in his creation, and we can see human beings flourish and really put Satan in his place, because he does not like it when human beings live their God-given potential. Governor, with all that being said, real quickly, what's on your show this weekend?
Matt Walsh will be with us. We'll be talking about his wonderful documentary, What is a Woman? If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth watching. We also will have Rebecca St. James doing music, and Sean Davis from The Federalist will be with us. We've got a great show lined up, but don't miss Matt Walsh. He is just phenomenal.
I'm glad he's finally figuring out what a woman is. They've had trouble with that even on the Supreme Court level this year. So,
yes, they have.
It's good to know somebody figured it out. Hey, Governor, thanks for being with us.
You bet. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Don't go away.
This is Hugh Hewitt for townhall.com. Is there something that conservatives and liberals agree on in the aftermath of the massacre in Texas? Let's begin with a reminder of what Justice Scalia wrote in the 2008 Heller decision. The justice reiterated that the court did not want to cast doubt on the legality of laws forbidding, quote, felons and the mentally ill, close quote, from possessing firearms. So the right to own a weapon is not absolute. No serious person believes it is. What then should Congress aim to achieve? First, the police should have acted very differently, beginning with the absence from the scene of any kind of regular, quote, resource officer, and then the terrible decision to wait and wait to rush the killer. Second, I think a supermajority of voters also believe that well-trained, experienced, and well-armed officers need to be on the campuses of all K-12 schools. These steps make sense. Neither gun rights absolutist nor gun confiscation enthusiast ought to control this conversation anymore. There is a sound center. Let's begin there, and quickly.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you got lower back pain, neck pain, upper back pain, even sciatica, maybe completely debilitated from walking due to the amounts of pain in your back, then you need to talk to my great friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. As the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she specializes in that non-surgical spinal decompression. And what I love about Dr. Keller is that she's committed to eradicating the pain, not with scary injections or surgery, but she wants to make sure your spine is healthy. She gives you a complete diagnosis. And if you have a bulging disc, spinal stenosis, sciatica, or herniated disc, she is going to point you in an all-natural direction first that will not cut on your body or put shots into your system. Find out for yourself, because she's going to help you alleviate that pain and doing things like walk freely again and playing with your kids or grandkids. So call Dr. Keller now, 718-234-6200. That's 718-234-6200. And let Dr. Keller and the Brooklyn Spine Center help you today. That's 718-234-6200 or brooklynspinecenter.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jason from Be Alive, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Jesus, Matt, and Lori Show to be uplifted right here on WMCA.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Very glad to have you with us today, friends, and it is a very remarkable day. As I started this show an hour ago saying, I have seen so many people I've lost over the course of these 40 years that I've been debating this and fighting for this, and now that this moment has arrived, it seems almost a little anticlimactic, especially given the ongoing challenges that the country has. I'm not going to be under any misguided perception here. We are dealing with an issue in the hearts of men that we have not dealt with in a really long time. And it is being exhibited quite well in the people that are protesting the Supreme Court's decision today. But the anger that you see, the hatred that you see for people that disagree with them on the issue. And when you ask yourself the question, well, what is it that is actually causing the disturbance? You know, it's one of those things where my lovely bride and I got into an argument the other night, and it was one of our better arguments. We argued the entire evening, and we got to the end of the night, and we woke up the next morning, and we said, "What was that about?" And actually, the weird thing about it was, it was me telling the story of how we met to our kids, and I got some facts wrong, and I was dismissive of her concerns about those facts and so forth, but. It was a small thing in the scope of big stuff. It really was small. And yet it got so intense and so difficult. And we had to say the next morning, why were we arguing about that? That was so small. And friends, I think when you take a look at what this fight is about, it's anything but small. The life of a child should be valued and cherished by everybody. It shouldn't be a disputable idea. And I think that the reason why those that are so adamant for the side that lost today, I think part of the reason that they are so adamant is because they know how wrong their side is. Because we've learned a lot in the last 48 years. We've learned a lot about human body, human development, how a baby survives in the womb. We've learned a lot about how long they can sustain life outside the womb in a premature state. And we've seen babies that have been able to be saved at 20 weeks, 15 weeks. There may be a day where we can see a baby saved earlier than that. The justices said in the ruling that the viability argument was bizarre. And they were right. It was never about whether or not a baby could survive on its own outside a mother's body. A born child can't survive without a parent. Little children that are 5, 6, 10, 12 years old can't survive without parents. The difference here is that we were fundamentally not recognizing that it was a human being and that it had life. Technology has largely shaped our information into a different direction. So we now see that life long before it's out of the womb. Friends, be thoughtful, be prayerful, be respectful of your neighbors and of those you discuss this with. But go ahead and celebrate a win. It was a good one. I'm Kevin McCullough.